Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this first hour. Stephen Clark joins us for a conversation about something that might sound like a technicality, wording of a ballot initiative. People get concerned about this, but why? Especially when it comes to embryonic stem cell research in the state of Missouri. After our 10-minute conversation, hour two of Issues Etc., Eternal Life with Dr. Lewis Brighton of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Stephen Clark is an attorney for the Missouri Roundtable for Life. Stephen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Give us an example of why wording on ballot initiatives like this, especially when it comes to the life issue, is so very important.
The ballot language is extremely important, and a perfect example of this was Missouri's embryonic stem cell research amendment from 2006. And in that amendment, the ballot language stated that the amendment banned human cloning, when in fact the amendment expressly permitted and in fact enshrined in Missouri law human cloning, the very process by which Dolly the sheep was cloned. And that was permitted by this amendment, too. But the language said it banned human cloning, so it was extremely misleading, and misleading in such a way that it caused a number of people, based on surveys, to vote in favor of that amendment, when in reality, had they known it permitted the cloning procedure by which Dolly the sheep was created, called somatic cell nuclear transfer, they would have voted against it.
Okay, how is the wording usually arrived at? I mean, is it written by one individual, or and I think that pertains to this case as well.
That's correct. And by law, that responsibility for the wording is delegated to the Missouri Secretary of State, in this case, Robin Carnahan, current Secretary of State. And traditionally what has occurred is the Secretary of State will give deference to and often accept the language proposed by the group or the individual promoting a constitutional amendment. And in fact, that's exactly what Secretary Carnahan did in 2006 or for the 2006 election over what we call the cloning amendment. But in what has occurred since then and prior to that with this Secretary of State, Robin Carnahan, she has accepted the language of pro-cloning and pro-abortion groups and completely rejected and rewritten the language of pro-life and anti-cloning groups.
So the deference that was afforded one side on this issue in the wording of a ballot initiative is not being extended to the other side.
That's exactly correct.
I take it also that the Secretary of State has not kept a Missouri Roundtable for Life or the other people interested in this fully informed of all their decisions in a timely manner. Is that true?
That is true indeed. And if I could explain, what the Secretary has done is someone in her office and or the Attorney General's office has communicated with pro-cloning groups about official decisions and official actions taken by the Secretary of State's office before the Secretary of State's office has communicated those decisions and official actions to the Missouri Roundtable for Life, which was the group seeking the constitutional amendment, which is highly unusual and perhaps illegal. And that's one of the things we're going to get to the bottom of in a lawsuit we filed last Friday.
Do you know how the ballot initiative currently reads, or are you still in the dark on that?
Well, we know how we have language from the Secretary of State, and we're asking the court to exercise its statutory authority to rewrite that language, because the secretary's language is highly prejudicial and legally inaccurate.
What exactly did you hope by asking or proposing an amendment, and how is that being thwarted by the change of language here?
What did we ask for? What we're asking for in an amendment, what we're trying to do, is amend the Missouri Constitution to ensure that no taxpayer dollars are spent on abortion services, human cloning, or other prohibited human research using embryos and fetuses.
And as the wording currently stands, does that substance of it survive?
The substance of it is substantially changed in the sense that what people would see when they go into the ballot booth, the voting booth, would be just this summary that the Secretary of State has drafted, which is, again, misleading, and it doesn't change the substance of the amendment. What, in our view, it does is it causes two things. One, it causes people who would ordinarily support our amendment, our proposed amendment, to not sign a petition to get that amendment on the ballot. And then number two, assuming it did get on the ballot, assuming we could get over those hurdles of signing, getting the signatures necessary, then it would cause people who ordinarily would vote for the amendment, what our amendment stands for, to vote against it.
What do you think the prospects are for your plea to the courts to step in and exercise their judicial authority here?
Well, we're hopeful. Not sure how optimistic we are given the track record in the courts, but the trial court in Cole County, Missouri, has been a little more, I guess, monitoring of the Secretary of State's language, but the Missouri Court of Appeals has granted the extreme deference to the Secretary of State, and I think that is perhaps an indication of the leanings of the political leanings of the court, if you will.
In the press release from Missouri Roundtable for Life, you assert that this ballot amendment has been politicized. How so?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier, Todd, which is that the pro-cloning and pro-embryonic stem cell research groups are getting extreme deference, and they also happen to be, from the Secretary of State, they also happen to be extremely large campaign contributors to Secretary Carnahan and to the then Attorney General, now Governor, and to the now Attorney General. Whereas pro-life groups have been essentially shut out of the process of seeking constitutional amendments and shut out by the Secretary of State as well as the Attorney General, because the Attorney General has a role in the process, as does the state auditor.
As the law in Missouri stands now, can taxpayer money be spent on the things listed in the amendment?
Well, we filed another case on that issue, and a judge recently ruled that these restrictions that the legislature passed in 2003 do not apply to money that is appropriated to what's called the Life Sciences Research Trust Fund, which is a somewhat amorphous vehicle for the state to use funds for research purposes. And what we're seeking is some checks and balances on that and a court decision that, in fact, the legislature's restrictions from 2003 do restrict the use of taxpayer funds on abortion services, human cloning, and prohibited human research. Unfortunately, the court disagreed with us, and we are appealing that decision.
So from your perspective, in order to not only safeguard the taxpayer funds not going places that Missourians don't want them to go, but also in defense of life, this amendment really is necessary, and it needs to be worded properly for Missourians to understand what it is they're actually considering.
That's exactly right, Todd. And I should say the court in the case I just referred to did find some good things, some things we can look at that are very pro-life, perhaps very unintentional by the court, but very pro-life nonetheless. The court found that the restrictions that the legislature placed on funds in 2008 are effective and binding, and that those restrictions do not allow the expenditure of taxpayer funds on abortion services, human cloning, or prohibited research. But those restrictions are a year-to-year issue as opposed to the restrictions in 2003. In other words, as the court said, every time the legislature appropriates money to the Life Sciences Research Trust Fund, the legislature has to impose whatever restrictions it wants to then, which means every year there's a legislative battle about it. And in Jefferson City, the last several years in our state capital, there have been battles over life sciences research funding for the very reasons we're talking about today, whether those monies will be able to be used for abortion services, human cloning, or this prohibited human research.
Steve Clark is an attorney from Missouri Roundtable for Life. You'll find a link to Missouri Roundtable for Life under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Steve, thanks for being our guest. Keep up the good work.
Todd, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
Folks, you can help help us defend life from beginning to end by making a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or you can donate online, our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, eternal life, it lies ahead for those who are in Christ. We're going to be talking about how the Bible depicts it for us. Dr. Lewis Brighton of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest. Hour two of Issues Etc. is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.